warning. The Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. If you think you may be too weak to withstand the manliness represented in the following program, please do yourself a favor and stop listening now. If you choose to continue in spite of this warning, if at any time you feel yourself overcome by the manliness, stop immediately and consult your closest medical professional. And now, for the not so fair, faint, or frilly, we present The Catholic Man Show.
Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. I am Adam Minahan, sitting here in studio today with the Mr. Humble, David Niles.
You're welcome.
I appreciate the humility.
Here I am. Gaze upon it.
If you're wondering, did he just say studio? Was that a mistake? No, it was not. Dave, what is the studio?
The studio is the room that we currently sit in. It is your study slash studio, and hence is the studio.
Yes.
Also, it's where the studs hang out.
So it all makes sense.
It's a double meaning. It's a both and thing.
Very Catholic.
Very Catholic.
Dave, we do three things on the episode. We open, review, and enjoy a man beverage. We highlight a man gear, and we have a man topic. Those are the three things we do every episode. Sometimes we have a guest. Sometimes we don't. This evening, we do have a guest. His first name is very Irish. His last name is a little morbid. He's a name that brings on thousands of conversations. Mr. Patrick Coffin.
Cue the studio applause. I don't know why my last name is morbid. I mean, it's just a reference to a death box. I don't get the morbid part.
Well. Yeah.
The way you mentioned, by the way, thank you for having me again. I love talking with you guys because you're real. You fit Reverend Gordon Dalby's definition of real men. A real man's a man who's real. So it's always fun to hang out with y'all. Just back to the studio for a second.
Yes.
EO is also a short film you can watch at Disneyland featuring Michael Jackson. Is that a triple illusion, or are we going to deny any EO connection? EO, Captain EO. No.
You know, sometimes the Lord works in mysterious ways, and he has planted layer upon layer of meaning, and it's just, you know, up for us to dive into it.
It got really quiet in here when I mentioned Michael Jackson.
So, Patrick, you have your own show, The Patrick Coffin Show, which is awesome. Yep. We've talked about it before. How's everything going over there?
It is proof positive that exhilaration and terror can coexist. we're shifting what we're doing into a membership site with exclusive content and commentary and a special feature called Transform You, which is practical based tapping the brain of a super practical high value expert in the world of transformation. Now, in the following areas: productivity. One of my first guests is David Allen. David Allen's book, Getting Things Done, changed my life. Finally, there was an answer to so many of my ADHD traits, and it's found in this method of time management. It's not just time management. It's all the stuff that comes at you. It's a process to dispense of it in a way that keeps your stress low and your creativity and productivity high. Porn addiction. Millions of men are looking at porn, including men that go to church every Sunday.
Cut it out.
It's got the long knives in them. Now, I've done a four-part series already, but I want to take another pass at it from a different kind of angle. So anyway, that's at patrickcoffin.media. The show is, and thanks for bringing it up, is once a week. It airs on Tuesdays. For now, it's a weekly show. And I'm all about going upstream to the sources of culture, and to interviewing folks who are either sages or survivors of the culture war. So I just interviewed Katie Asco, who is a very courageous young Irish woman who was the president of the student union at UCD, the University College Dublin, and was given the Golden Boot Award. She was impeached because she was just too pro-life. So that would be an example of a survivor who's also a sage. Dr. Jordan Peterson, the great Canadian free speech advocate and very interesting cat. Dr. Peterson is the only guy I've interviewed three times, and we're set to do another walk around in Los Angeles. So it's a lot of fun. It's not explicitly bang on apologetics or evangelization even, but it's I'm hitting nerves that people aren't hitting and talking about things that need to be talked about, those all-important, crucial, if uncomfortable at times, conversations. It reminds me of one of my favorite New Yorker magazine cartoons. I love the New Yorker magazine cartoons, and one of them is a giant elephant on a psychiatrist's couch, and the psychiatrist is there with his clipboard, and the elephant is saying to the shrink, "I'm right there in the room, and no one's talking about me." So that's my elevator pitch.
Patrick, I have been waiting so, I feel like, forever for you to do this, to get the subscription site launched. So I'm super pumped about it, and I'm glad that you're doing it the way you are, because we can't let Catholicism stay in the box of church, because it really is something that is it informs every aspect of our life. And I think it's a mistake that a lot of people make to try to keep it isolated to, oh, this is just religion, just religion, just religion, because productivity, like you mentioned, productivity, that's a big thing for a lot of people, is are you dedicating yourself to your work the way that you should be. And a lot of people aren't, just because they don't know how to be better at it.
It's true.
But before we get too deep into this
conversation, we need to
honor the things that deserve to be honored. And in this case, our man beverage. Mm-hmm. What are you drinking today, Patrick?
I have Buffalo Trace, Kentucky straight bourbon whiskey. This was introduced to me by my dear friend. I hope he's listening. I know he's a fan of yours, Detective Jeff Wrigley of Maine, my cop friend and brother from another mother. Jeff introduced me to Buffalo Trace, and I've been thanking him ever since, as he's thanking me for introducing him to Lafroig.
Yes.
Which is not French for the frog, by the way. Just it's Scottish. Do you want to uncork and imbibe?
Yes, let's please do.
So,
by the way, one day, if I can do this outside, I don't know if you're open to this. Maybe when we get together, when we talk about the upcoming Oklahoma Catholic Men's Conference, I would like to maybe once include cigar smokage in the conversation. And for all those people who are hysterical anti-smokers, the Catechism of the Catholic Church mentions smoking, but it doesn't condemn it. Mm-hmm. What is condemned is overuse, or excessive use, excessive tobacco use. And my biblical justification or rationale for enjoying a cigar occasionally is based on the fact that under the old dispensation, God Almighty commanded that the temple be incensed. How much more under the new dispensation should the temple temple of the Holy Spirit, should also likewise be incensed? Thank you. That's my...
Patrick,
so
I have
quiet in here again.
I have this awesome tradition that I started. Every time my wife leaves, like for a day, if she goes to visit family out of town, I always smoke my pipe inside.
You can do it. Yeah.
Good boy.
I know.
Pipes are good too. Pipes are more maybe C.S. Lewis-ish, whereas cigars are more Chestertonian. You with me?
Totally.
Yes, absolutely.
Totally.
So we actually were trying to get Buffalo Trace, and apparently here in Tulsa, it's only released 4 to 5 times a year here in Tulsa. And we called basically every big liquor store in Tulsa. None of them had it.
I called a lot of the little ones.
And so we couldn't get it.
Not even a medium-sized liquor store.
Not even the medium size. Yeah.
So we are settling with Eagle Rare, which is a Buffalo Trace distillery whiskey.
I detect a similar font design there.
Yes.
That makes sense that's the same company. That's beautiful.
So let's cheers real fast. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side. So raise your glass. Cheers to Jesus.
Mm-hmm. I'm still coveting. I quickly snagged this because of the whiskey thing, but I still proudly showcase, and whenever I have friends over, or if I'm sitting with an apéritif with my wife, your beautiful, and why don't you show the guys who haven't, or the gals ever watching, your beautiful etched Catholic Man Show whiskey glass. That is something else. I like that the thinner. I should have had it with me, but I didn't. I like that the nose of it kind of funnels the scent.
Created by science.
Yeah.
Yeah. Created by science. Let's raise our glass to Galileo and Einstein. And the monk Gregor Mendel, the father of genetics. All right.
May they rest in peace.
Uh-huh. When we get together for other men's groups, you were talking about having, like, actually having a cigar while we do the show. I'm totally game. When we have, when we're with Father Brian Ketterer in one of our men's groups, a lot of times he starts the blessing off with a blessing of the alcohol and the smoke. Because if you bless the smoke from the cigars, it actually drives away demons of the air.
I never looked at it through the preternatural lens.
It's a Catholic hack.
Catholic hack.
That's good. Yeah, that's great.
But isn't that pretty cool?
Yeah, I was talking with my friend and mentor, Peter Kraft, about how frequently during important conversations something online will happen, like it'll go down, or something very important went into spam, or it was filtered out. Mm-hmm. And he made this very same point. Well, the Bible calls some of the evil spirits, spirits of the air. Mm-hmm. And on the air is kind of a metaphor for the electric age, right?
Totally.
So kind of fitting.
I like it. I like it.
Like fittingness.
All right. So when we get back, we're going to jump into the man gear. We're here with Patrick Coffin of patrickcoffin.media. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I am David Niles. Next to me is Adam Minahan. With us is the one and only Patrick Coffin from his expansive studio somewhere located in California, where the weather is always beautiful and so are the women. At least that's what they say. I've never been there yet.
I met they, by the way. They're the Blonkowski families. Yeah, they live up the road in Huntington Beach. They're the origin of that phrase.
I love them.
Amazing.
They're great people.
Yeah, they really are good.
But the winters here, this year has been rough, I need to tell you. I grew up in Canada, and I maybe it's just that I've become acclimated, but last night the temperature plunged, I kid you not, it plunged below 50.
Oh my gosh.
And one of the jacuzzi jets was not properly working. And
don't you hate when that happens?
What is this, a third world country? Well, just before the break, we were talking about blessing the smoke of our cigars, and it gave me a great idea. I'm going to, from now on, when I get a cigar, I'm going to find a priest or pipe tobacco and have it blessed. That way, when I smoke it, if I want to smoke inside, I can tell my wife I'm just blessing the house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no QED. There is no comeback from that.
No.
Biblical sound reply.
Right, yeah.
So,
Because Jesus.
Yeah, because Jesus.
Yeah. There you go. Anyway, today, our man gear, I really like, I've been wanting to do this for a long time, is the man cave. And I would like to talk about, Patrick, this is your suggestion, I think it's a great suggestion, what is the appropriate use of the man cave? What should it be? What shouldn't it be? Because I think there's a lot of abuses.
Yeah. I do too. I support the concept of men getting away from the regular treadmill routine, even the schedule of familial life, which is wonderful, and it's where the domestic church. So this is not fleeing from responsibility. It's more recharging. It's kind of reigniting through silence. And while I love the notion of man cave, I like, there's that Broadway play. Maybe it's off Broadway. Maybe it's so off like it's in India. It's not that far from Broadway. But, things called The Caveman. So I'm all about the rugged paleo, get back to the land thing. And men need to – and I know we're going to probably talk about conferences and the upcoming conference and the importance of men going to conferences. But the man cave, in a way, is a mini conference inside the walls of your domestic church. But my pet peeve about the way that most men view a man cave is that they sit in what I call the magical chair, which is, don't bug me, keep the door shut, I don't want the kids near me, I want to watch the game because it's on TiVo for 9 hours. Mm-hmm. And I've got maybe the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders on my wall, I've got maybe a Sports Illustrated something or other, neon like beer brand signs surrounding me. I don't really like that. I mean, I'm looking at this from the lens of someone who wants to be a much better father, husband, provider, leader than the schlub I currently am. And I was thinking about gear, and we often associate gear with stuff like a cufflink, a hatchet, beverage, you know, a carabiner, something for rock climbing. But your surroundings are kind of an extension of gear. They're almost like an extension of clothing. The places we choose to put ourselves in say a lot about our priorities. And one thing I've been doing a lot, and we can talk about books at some point, maybe on my future. So about books that men, Catholic men in particular, have to be reading. I've been reading a lot of business books, books by and for entrepreneurs. And I came across a speaker. He's all over the internet. He's deceased now. God rest his soul. His name's Jim Rohn, R-O-H-N, as in November. Jim Rohn. And I incorporate a lot of Jim Rohnisms into my parish mission called Recharge. We can find out more about that as well. But Jim Rohn famously said that you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. Mm-hmm. And that really kind of sunk in. I've been chewing on that for a couple of years. And it makes me think, well, who are my five? And is Jesus one of the five that I spend the most time with? Jesus goes to prayer, right? So if you shift that image of the people you spend time with, what are the environments you spend time with? Do you go to ugly parts of town because you have to? And if you do, do you kind of slink away to a coffee shop because you don't want to see ugliness too much?
Mm-hmm.
What care do you take about how your house is decorated? Now, I'm not talking about getting all fabulous and interior designerish or anything like that. However, when you're away from your wife and kids, let's say I grew up calling it the den, right? Dad's den or the rec room. It's a place my father went to go to disconnect. And it was like an unspoken, unspoken. There's that coffin spook ghost. there was an unspoken rule that when my dad comes home, he needs 15 minutes to kind of recharge and reset. So my mom knew, don't throw duties at him. Don't give the list. Let him kind of shed the cape and go back to Bruce Wayne.
Yeah. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And then he'll kind of shift modes. And so I like my personal view here on the man cave is it really should be more of a library than an ESPN viewing studio. Because ESPN, first of all, they're politically far, far left. They're half the reason why NFL customers/fans have just left the room.
Totally.
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard of anyone on their deathbed say, honey, kids, grandkids, gather around. I have one more thing I want to say. Everybody, I really wish I'd watched more ESPN.
Right.
You know?
Beep. So, yeah.
I think we should be around books. I mean, I'm looking at your background. You've got a picture of our Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You've got family photos. You've got this...
look at this books.
Ridiculously unkempt collection of books.
Yes.
It actually is more organized than what you think. I just have ran out of room.
I hear that. That's a very good. Actually, that's also a Chestertonian looking bookshelf there. It's kind of it's charmingly shabby because you've got too many books. So
that's right.
A good problem to have if they're good books. Mm-hmm. So I'm all about changing the idea of the man cave into the man library. Now, this is not to say you can only read books and don't watch football. I'm not saying that at all. I've got friends who are professional baseball and football players, and I'm a sports fan myself. I'm talking about proportion and balance.
Mm-hmm.
Not all leaders read. Not all readers lead, the opposite. But all leaders read. So we've got to be forming ourselves. If we want to learn more and take everything to the next level, you can only watch so many YouTube tutorials, you know? There's so much wisdom in books.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you don't have a crackling fireplace, even if it's not, you know, burnished wood, my house here in Southern California is very simple, but I do stack it with things that I want to be front and center in my life. I want them to be number one. And I just don't, I don't golf for that reason. I'd rather spend time with my kids than 5 hours with my buddies on the golf course. And I love golf. I started playing when I was 8 years old, so I love it. But to me, when you look at the brevity of life, I just posted on Twitter, by the way, Patrick_Coffin is my handle. And my wife said, honey, can you come in? And I said, oh, I'll be there in 5 minutes. I was writing an article. And I checked my watch. And I got back, and I feel like I wrote a sentence. And the 5 minutes was up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, life goes by in 5 minute chunks. I don't know about you guys,
yeah,
but I'm really bad at telling people how long ago something happened. So the insurance company will call, when was your last payment? I can't tell last Tuesday from October.
Right. Yeah. I'm the same way.
And when I find out when something happened, I can't believe it, how fast things are going by. Here we are doing the show. And no matter what age you are, life comes at you at the same speed, and you can't press pause. So that's mm-hmm. why I'm a big fan of shifting the man cave idea into a place where you're gonna, you're gonna pray either a rosary, or I use eye breathery for morning prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't get my carcass quiet for five minutes minimum, I already feel like every decision I make is in the flesh, and it's like schlubby and lazy, and I'm just more cranky, and because I haven't started on the right step.
Yeah.
So anyway, man cave as man library is the short hand for it.
Yeah, I totally agree, and I think a lot of guys, they think oh man stuff. It ends up becoming the sin cave. You know, this is where all the stuff goes that can't be. You know, that my wife doesn't like. Like you mentioned, pictures of cheerleaders. I mean, it's just stuff like that. That this yep. is where I forget the sophisticated self and just embrace this basal. Just man, as if that's all we are,
right?
Are just these primal urge mm-hmm. of men, and it should be some. I mean, I do think that there should be an element to it where men can segregate to go to not as a rule per se. It's not like no women ever in the man cave, or whatever you want to call it. But there is a nice element to being able to say, hey, let's just go be men together. Mm-hmm. I mean, and you could do that in any room.
Yeah, it didn't have to be. Yeah, absolutely.
I like the notion of congregate, too.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe because segregation's got a PR problem. But I totally agree with you. Men have to spend time with men. I started a men's group in San Diego, which I still drive down. I live in Orange County now, but every month I make it. It's called Holy Smokes, and we drink whiskey and smoke cigars and talk about dadhood and theology. And it's fantastic. And all the wives love when we go there because we come back.
Mm-hmm. We come back better.
Yeah.
Shared the struggle.
Have you talked to my wife?
Real, and it's okay. You know, big boys do cry. Sometimes mm-hmm. We men, we're so afraid of being real that we end up being electric meat, just a consumption machine with no emotion. And we have to be real.
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree. So if you have a man cave, take a look at it. Is it the man cave Jesus would make? Just ask yourself that question. There you go. We'll be right back. This is the Catholic Man Show with Adam Minahan and David Niles. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. We are drinking a little bit of actually Eagle Rare, brought to you by Juan Posada for us, because I
went over to his house and took it.
Because he wasn't even there.
He's not even there.
But we did get permission. We did, don't worry.
He said I could.
He said but our
our guest, Patrick Coffin. He's drinking a little bit of Buffalo Trace, both from the same distillery. We just got done talking about the man cave or the man library. And let's start talking about... Oh, wait, what is that? Oh, is that the Holy Family? Or our mother and Jesus? Baby Jesus?
Yeah, it's a kind of a... Our Lady of Perpetual Help, but the rest of the story.
Gotcha. Well played.
Paul Harvey icon.
Yes.
Yeah, I went back and listened to some Paul Harvey recently.
My dad used to listen to him all the time. We used to, yeah.
What an instrument that guy's speaking voice is. He reminds me of a Protestant Vin Scully. Hmm. Just a very resonant, easy to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
Not afraid of pauses, you know. The rest of the story.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember being a kid. Yeah, my dad listened to him all the time, and I liked it even as a kid. So I think that's a test.
There's a true art to storytelling. There's a true art to storytelling.
And that'd be a good man show topic right there.
Yeah, that's one that I'm not good at. I'm not good at that. So let's talk about the men's conferences. Let's talk about that, because we're really excited because you were going to be in Oklahoma coming up in March. For the Oklahoma Catholic Men's Conference, it's kind of gave us the idea for this topic. Our friend Trent Horn will be there as well.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, who else?
Bishop Anthony Taylor.
And Deacon Pollo.
Deacon Pollo, yeah.
Yes.
Anybody out? It's CatholicMen.net, by the way. Saturday, March 3rd.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Saturday, March 3rd in Oklahoma.
Register.
Norman, I think.
Yes.
Yes, Norman.
Norman, yes. Mm-hmm. Register early, you get an early bird discount.
Yes, that is very true.
Register now. I do not imagine these seats are going to do anything else but sell out. The hunger is so great for men, for community and for challenge and for realizing that we're not in separate silos. And we need to eyeball each other and realize that there's a lot of people out there thinking and feeling and desiring the same things we are for cultural renewal and for evangelization and for being good dads. Even if we had a crappy dad, we have a Heavenly Father who's the perfect dad. No matter mm-hmm. how good your earthly dad was, we all have access to the same Father.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking forward to it. I'm honored to be a part of that roster of speakers. I'm going to be talking about the key to manhood. There's a lot. We talk a lot about, you have to be a parish, you know, leader and a civic leader, and you have to... I was just talking about reading books, and that's all important, and we have to be husbands and fathers. But there's one thing we have to be, and that's it goes to identity. I think a lot of men identify themselves with what they do, with their job, with their portfolio, with their public persona. But there's something that we have that's precious, that's the key to everything else. I'm also going to be talking about movies that resonate with men and why that is. Why is it that a movie like Saving Private Ryan or Gran Torino can really light up someone who doesn't even particularly care for movies? The power of story and realizing that as men, we can't let the perfect become the enemy of the good. Everything we do is done imperfectly. And I think one of the most abused Bible passages in all the 73 books is the commandment of our Lord to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. Well, wait a second. I'm far from perfect. Only God's perfect. Yeah, well, he's looking at the end game. What he really means is, can you do your best now in what you have today? Can you be the best with the cards that are dealt today? And this is what the saints did. They did their best with what was dealt to them.
Yeah.
Have you guys read Father Walter Cizek's book, He Leadeth Me?
No.
No,
Father Cizek is one of the 12, maybe 14 American-born males on the road to sainthood. We have no male saints who were born in America. A little bit embarrassing because there are three women. Women are obviously naturally superior.
Hopefully, blessed Father Stanley Rother will be.
Stanley Rother, Father Stan is blessed. Mm-hmm. A few weeks ago, Venerable Solanus Casey became blessed. I'm also praying for my spiritual father, Bishop Fulton Sheen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's there too. But Father Walter Cizek is another lesser-known American-born male. He was a Jesuit from Pennsylvania who was arrested on a train in Russia. He wanted to evangelize Russia. And he was put in a concentration camp system with gulags and salt mines for 23 years.
Wow.
So he wrote two books, but the one I recommend is He Leadeth Me. And that book, it's one of the few books in my life that I've got to the last page and I had to crank back to the first page and reread it again. It's that good.
Wow.
By the way, I'm going to be talking about this episode, my appearance here, on my own website, patrickhoffman.media. So you can find that, references to stuff that we talk about there in the show notes. He Leadeth Me by Father Walter Cizek.
Sweet. SJ. So I want to, here's something that I want to talk about. Back to the Oklahoma Catholic Men's Conference. Mm-hmm. Dave and I have been going to the, I think this is the 22nd. Is that correct, Dave? I believe it's the 22nd. Correct me if I'm wrong. We can do that in the show notes or whatever.
You're at least close.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know that I've been to 20 of them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 31. So you can do that math. Dave's been, I think, to 19.
Yeah. You got me by one.
Yes, that's because I wasn't as big of a heathen in college as he was, and I decided to still go.
Maybe true. Although plus,
Dave is 17. I don't know how he...
The reason why I bring that up is because our dads, who are friends, they took us as 8-year-old boys to the men's conference.
Yeah.
And, you know, the men's conference is something that... It gets guys excited, you know, because you get all these guys together in one room. They're on fire. But it's the relationships that take the event and keep it going, keep the fire lit. It's the relationships that really carry it on. The follow up. Exactly.
Yeah. So two things I want to say about this.
Okay.
I'm glad you mentioned this because, yes, our dads took us when we were young, like kids. Mm-hmm. But...
Like, I would fall asleep in the first talk almost every time because I was young. Right,
but today there's this idea that, oh, you can't even become a man until you're 25. Like, don't even consider manhood until you're, you know, old and, you know, you got to party through college first, you know, get it out of your system. No, that's a bunch of crap.
It's complete crap. If you go to World Youth Day, you're going to see 52-year-old men there. You know, mm-hmm. What's youth ministry has been, we've so extended the expiration date of what a child is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We've got Dave. I think Dave Barry, the comic writer, has a thing mm-hmm. called the Rise of the Guy or something like that. The concept of a guy is essentially Jerry Seinfeld. All right, kind of a jokester. Everything's ironic. Everything's glib. Contrast that with Gary Cooper, with Marlon Brando or Steve McQueen, John Wayne, where there's a seriousness and it starts early.
Yeah.
You look at photos from the 1950s, a 19-year-old man looks, you know, 30-something. He's got a suit. He's usually got a fedora. He's a man with a plan. He's got a pocket comb, you know. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, we just want to extend. If you're 25 years old, you can still be on mommy and daddy's insurance company, insurance policy.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think when you're 8.
That's a really important thing.
You should be, and when you're 10, you know, as a kid, you should be on the, you know, with manhood in view. I mean, obviously, it's not something that you're going to just achieve one day, but it's something that I think a 15-year-old boy, you know, 15-year-old guy is capable of. I mean, I don't know, there used to be like rituals of, you know, when tribes and people would, you know, you became a man on this day. And it wasn't when you were 25. I mean, it was like 12 years old. You became, I mean, it's different, but you know what I mean.
The Jews did it. It's called the Bar Mitzvah.
Yeah.
Right.
And they did it at 12, right? They still do it at 12.
Is it 16? 13.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, but it's the same thing. It's like on the cusp of puberty, heading toward what we commonly call manhood.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They front load it and they presume that you're ready. Well, we should listen to that. Jews have a lot of wisdom that's not rooted in what happened last Tuesday in the Kardashians.
Totally, totally. But the other thing I was going to say is that since we've been going to these conferences for so long, we've had the opportunity to see them in their infancy and how they've grown over the years. And, you know, mm-hmm. when they started, it was just 100 guys coming together in a like a small, like a chapel kind of. Yeah. And then they've moved from location to location. Now it's at a...
Embassy Suites.
At the Embassy Suites. It's about as big of a venue as they can find that will, you know, be able to accommodate everybody. And it's about 1,000 people. And you're right, they will sell out. So
they did last year.
Yeah, make sure to get your tickets. People come from all over the country for this conference. Mm-hmm. It really is. It's done right. Mm-hmm. And you can tell, I mean, obviously, Patrick, they're bringing in people who are serious men like yourself. You know, they're not just asking some local guy who might be great too, but you know, they really want to do everything they can to get men
there.
And the men man, it's, you can just tell at the conference there's a desire to be there.
CatholicMen.net, by the way, for folks, or if you're excited about it, then sign up right now. And sign up your brother and your cousin. I always love when someone in a conference setting has brought somebody who's not darkened the door to a church in years. Mm-hmm. Because if you go to the same conference, you sort of, and it's not a bad thing, it's a good thing, you see the same people. Mm-hmm. But if those same people, just not five or ten or two, one, bring one.
Right.
Because that one person, you know, our Lord always focuses on the individual. The parable of the 99 sheep, it's not the 99 sheep that were found. It's the one, right?
Right. Yeah. Oh, man, Patrick, I'm so glad you said that. Yeah. We'll pick this up right after the break. Mm-hmm. We're going to keep talking about men's conferences. This is the Catholic Man Show with Adam Minahan and David Niles. We are men, and we're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. Cheers to Jesus. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. If you've been struggling with the levels of manliness so far, you better buckle up. It's about to get real. This is the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles. Sitting next to Adam Minahan, we're joined via Skype, the one and only Patrick Coffin. We're talking about men's conferences, why they're awesome, why you should go.
The importance of them.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And one in particular that's coming up, the In the Father's Footsteps conference to be held in Norman. What's the date, Patrick?
Saturday, March 3rd.
March 3rd.
Yeah. So it's not the Lord's Day, which is devoted to our Blessed Lord and your family. It's Saturday, which is normally devoted to honeydew trips to Costco or, you know, a 9-hour marathon. And Saturdays are limited commodities. It only comes around once a week. And all of us listening, including me speaking and you guys, have a limited supply of Saturdays left. So this is a great investment in your time. Not because I'm going to be there, but because you're going to link arms and rub shoulders with men like you struggling with the things that you're struggling with, and you're going to be invited and challenged and pushed to take things to the level where you want them. But we can't do it alone. Men don't like, you know, there's a joke about men not wanting to stop for directions. We kind of allergic to being told that there's you know, some help that we need.
Yeah.
And I have never heard of a gold medalist getting a medal without a coach. And sometimes peers are the best coaches because they know us the best. It's not like a speaker flown in and, you know, who's this clown. Mm-hmm. But it's a great opportunity. Can I ask you a skeptical question for folks that may be asking something similar?
Yes. Sure. Yeah.
You mentioned that you've been going to this Oklahoma Catholic Men's Conference for 20 plus years. You began when you were like 8-ish, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What about this objection? An 8-year-old really doesn't understand the content of the talk. He needs to be watching My Little Pony or, you know, he needs to be, I don't know, playing G.I. Joe. It's just the content's too much. The talk's going to be over his head. How do you answer that objection?
Well, that's a great question, because when we were 8, like I said, the first Norman is about like 2 hours away from Tulsa. And so we have to get up like at 5:30 in the morning to caravan down there to get there in time. And at 8 years old, you don't wake up at 5:30 very often. So the first speaker, I typically slept through the first speaker. However, that didn't matter because it's more about the like I said, it's more about the relationships that you build there. I can't tell you how many times Dave and I have talked about driving down there and driving back. We always get Mexican food on the way back home. We've developed these traditions. We built these traditions not only with ourselves, but with our dads, with other people who are in the Tulsa area. We all caravan. I think that there's like 50, 75 people that typically caravan down there within like two parishes. So of course they're not going to understand what the relationship of the hypostatic union if Scott Hahn is talking about covenants and, you know, all the stuff that he always talks about. But it's not always about... A lot of the older men aren't going to understand everything that, the speakers are talking about.
So I think there are two reasons. I'm going to give you two reasons why it's important to take your 8-year-old. The first is that the 8-year-old is going to sit there and watch his dad learn. And he's going to be evangelized by watching his father take time out of his Saturday to go to a men's conference. And I think that's going to speak volumes. And the second thing is that you mentioned it starts a tradition. If you try to start this with your kids when they're teenagers, they might say, I don't want to do that, you know, and they'll push back. But if it's something that they have been doing for years, this is a tradition, then it's, you know, something... Men love tradition. I don't care who you are. Men love a tradition, you know, and about honoring the ritual.
Yep.
And so if it's a ritual, then the kids are going to go. And I can say that because that's what happened to me when I was a teenager.
Yeah, we lived that.
It was like, even in college, I kind of had the attitude like, oh, you know, I'd rather stay here and drink beer, but this is just what we do. We go to the men's conference. And we were there.
A quick caveat might be, I don't know if there's an age limit at CatholicMen.net. I don't want to, maybe there's like a, you know, below 14. I don't know what the rules are. So I don't want, it'd be a bit awkward if they call and now the rule is, you know, 12 or 14 or whatever it is. But 8 is an arbitrary number. You guys obviously acclimated wonderfully. The point is, it's not about book knowledge. We're not going to crank through theological tomes. The point of this conference particularly is how to go from where you are now to the place and the person you want to be.
Yeah.
And the insight is so salient and so immediately urgent, and that is the crisis of fatherhood.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know,
you
can't be, how can you be a father unless you have one? And a lot of men walk around as they're kind of like the walking wounded. They don't even know what's wrong.
Yeah.
But they don't connect with their dads, or their dad died when they were young. It's not necessarily that their dad was, you know, a jerk or abusive or just, you know, neglected them.
Mm-hmm.
But the father's footsteps this is what I love about our Catholic faith. There's that great both and. Yes, it's your father on earth. It's his footsteps. It's his legacy, his modeling that you're trying to follow. If you want to, if he's been a good dad, but it's also the Heavenly Father's footsteps. He's the one who's the main author of our stories, and ultimately it's in him, our Heavenly Father, that we find who we are. You can't find it in porn, you can't find it in your job, you can't find it in the number of, you know, zeros after the one in your bank account. You can only find it in the one that made you, and his Son Jesus Christ, the Word through whom you were made. And that's why I'm excited about it, frankly, because I always learn way more than my listeners do. This, whenever you dig deep, you know, this is the great lesson, isn't it? It's about storytelling as well. If you want to tell a story that resonates with people everywhere, then look inside. The deeper down you go in that horizontal level, the more vertical it is, and vice versa. Mm-hmm. There's a picture of the cross right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, well, that's a good answer. So, in other words, when fathers go to these conferences with their sons or other family members, that's the built-in follow-up, isn't it? Because if the conference, in this case, it's Saturday, March 3rd, but next July, you're going to have that in common. And all the Julys forever, you're always going to have that shared experience. Maybe, maybe it's the 1st or the 5th or, you know, the 2nd or what have you. So that's a very good answer. It's the time spent. It's not just the content of the talks. How many times have you been at a conference and you didn't write stuff down, but, you know, it was good? Was it a good conference? Yes. Was it a good expenditure of money and time? Yes. But what did he say? It's right?
Right.
I don't know. It was something good, though.
It was really good.
Yeah. Normally there's maybe one takeaway on a really good day.
Mm-hmm.
So when you bring your dad or your cousin or your brother or your uncle, then you've got that in common. And that's a very important follow-up.
Yeah, Patrick, right before the break, you made a point, and I think it was such an important, great idea. I think we should make sure to drive it home about inviting somebody. You know, even that, the person at work, just somebody that you have a relationship with, that you say, hey, just come to this men's conference with me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know that I've seen other people do that. And you know, just people when I see him there, they're like, oh, hey, I brought so and so from work. You know, here he is, and introduce everybody, and it changes that guy's life.
Mm-hmm. Yep. On the spot, you can watch it from the first moment they walk in the door, and their first hug to a stranger. I'm a hugger myself. Mm-hmm. Maybe I grew up in the Garcia movement. When you see a guy going from this, like, mm-hmm. to, it's okay to let my hair down and be myself,
right?
Because I know that these men are real. They're vulnerable. They're willing to be childlike. They're willing to be, you know, the kind of man that I want to be. It's just great to see the before and after.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You just said something important too, David. I wanted to follow up on that. The part about, oh, I know what it was. When I used to host Catholic Answers Live, and still in my life as a Catholic, and I learned that someone has come back to the faith after being away for a long time. Mm-hmm. I always like to ask, like, just my amateur beta testing, what took you so long? Why'd you stay away from the church for so long? Hmm. And 9 times out of 10, the answer is no one invited me.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The power of the shoulder tap. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the greatest teacher in the world, God Himself, did not heal everyone who came to Him for healing.
Yeah.
You know, it says He could work no miracles where?
In His hometown.
No, in Nazareth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So it's okay to shoulder tap and have someone give us the cold shoulder. It's okay.
Right. Sure.
Should we pray for healing? Yes. Is everybody we pray for going to get healed? No.
No.
Right.
Does everybody who gets invited come to a conference? No. But you know
it's
what?
Okay.
2 of 5 might. 2 of 10 might.
Yeah, exactly. Patrick, we only got about a minute left.
All right, yes.
Talking about men's conference. What about a conference in, like, Rome? Like, what about that?
I'm glad you subtly brought that up.
Boom.
We didn't rehearse this.
PatrickCoffin.media/Italy.
Go check that out.
PatrickCoffin.media/Italy. I am so honored to be leading a pilgrimage with my dear and extremely organized wife, Mariela, to Rome and Assisi, Orvieto, and Siena. It's April 3rd through 12th, and we do not organize tours, okay? These are pilgrimages. These are trips of prayer that focus on holy sites, holy witnesses, great wine in this case, Italian food. You've read that the Italians have pretty good food, right?
I think I heard that somewhere.
So we're going to go to Assisi, learn everything there is to know within 3 days about St. Francis of Assisi. We're going to be at St. Peter's Basilica on Divine Mercy Sunday. Sign up and register.
That sounds awesome. In fact,
Italy.
Adam and I are going to be in Phoenix coming up. We're going to be there for the End of the Breach Men's Conference. We're going to the Wichita Men's Conference after that, all in February. It's going to be a manly month. Patrick, thanks for joining us here on the show today.
Thank you.
We were drinking Eagle Rare and
Buffalo Trace.
Buffalo Trace. We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. Cheers to Jesus.
Colonel Clink.